Greetings, programs. I wanted to take a second to tell you how I created this season of Recruit a Friend using Riverside FM. Riverside is an online platform that records audio and video footage locally and uploads it to the cloud. It's been super easy for me to use. I set up a studio on the website, I send a link to my guests, and that's it. In over a decade of podcasting, finding out post-recording that the audio or video quality was bad was my biggest complaint. Not having to worry about it this season has been a huge relief. Using the affiliate link in the description below, you can check out all the other features Riverside has to offer, like their shiny new editor. Now, on with the show. Greetings, programs, and welcome to another episode of Recruit a Friend, the show where we learn about the people behind the keyboard. Today, we're joined by a timeless content creator who embodies the term cozy like no other. She's a PhD candidate, part of the Blizzard ANZ Dream Team, and a community icon. Let's give a big Recruit a Friend welcome to Hottie Chicken. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so delighted to be here today. I was very excited when you asked me, but thank you.
Oh, excellent. You're kind of an icon, so it's always like, you know, it's like reaching out to like Oprah or Celine Dion. It's like, hey, do you want to do this? And it worked out great. Let's jump right into it, though. Let's find out. I want to know, how did you first get exposed to the World of Warcraft?
Actually, it was my son who exposed me to it. He was a very young teen, and downstairs where we lived at the time, there was like a games room, and he was having his friends over, and it was like a LAN party. You know, the mums were dropping off these young lads, and monitors and towers were, you know, going into the room downstairs. And I thought, what are they playing? And so I went downstairs to feed and water the, you know, the teenage boys. And I said, what are you playing here? And he said, Mom, come sit. Look at this. It's World of Warcraft. And it was vanilla. It was just before BC, basically. And he said, make a character for a quick second. And so I made a character, and I'd not played an MMO before. And I just fell in love with it. It was mind-blowing to me. It was just amazing. And so literally within 30 minutes, I said, I'll be back in a bit. Went down to the computer store, bought my own game, and came home. And that was it. That was
right away. One taste was all it took.
Yeah, that was it. Because he told me that I couldn't keep that character because that was his. And I thought, okay then.
I love that. That's great. First one's free.
Absolutely.
When you got your own copy of the game, what character did you make first?
Look, as much as I would love to say that I'd made a warlock because I adore warlocks, I actually made a priest. Because I didn't really know much about games, and so I made a priest. Her name was Fireworks, and I still have her. And then I realized very quickly, I wasn't enjoying the class at all. Not that I knew very much about classes, but I knew about warlocks. And it was very close to the same time that I made this priest that I made the warlock. Fire's Wrath. I had a thing for fire at the time. And I still have her, and she's my main.
So, oh, wow.
Yes.
You're still playing the same character from vanilla?
Yeah. Well, wow. It was just, I bought BC. So BC just launched.
Okay.
And so that's what I made it on. So so she's my main. Yes. I have not deleted her. I made a human. Wow. So excited. I made a human.
Yeah. I have a lot of humans. My partner, she's like, you can be anything in this world. You're a human in real life.
Exactly.
I don't know. That just feels right.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. When you started playing, how much were you like, were you right away? Was it like, this is it, this is everything? Or was it like sort of a casual thing?
No, it was everything. Because it was just nothing like I'd ever experienced before. So I'd been a gamer for a very, very long time, since I was a teenager myself, as games were back in the day. But it was just too fascinating for me not to play, you know, and I was a mama bear and working full time as well. So I could do all the things, now go play games. You know, everybody's sick, go play games. Yeah.
I love that. That's great. What way do you find you enjoy like engaging with the content the most? Are you a raider? Are you a PvPer?
Yes. No, but not so much a PvP. Not so much a PvP. But it changes over time. And I think for many of us, you know, it's 20 years this year. Our gameplay for a lot of us has probably changed. And so when I first started playing, I was a solo player. I didn't know anybody. And my son was Horde. I was a lion, so I didn't play with him and his friends, and that wasn't cool to play with your mother anyway. So I played by myself. I didn't talk on TeamSpeak or Ventrilo as it was back in the day. And so I really played solo till about level 30, the original level 30, until I joined a guild. So my playstyle was very much solo, doing quests. You did every quest in every zone before you moved on, you know, old school play. But then when I joined a guild, I learned about raiding. So that's when I started raiding. And then I met some little maids that I thought was a bit cute. Other story.
Oh.
And married that one. And then I got into raiding very heavily. And so my gameplay changed again. And so now, fast forward to today, I don't raid so much. It's usually by, you know, the chance of some very nice guildies. I'm in Nat 20. And they sometimes say, come on, Horty, we'll take you in. I may get back to it one day, but, you know, life's a bit busy at the minute. So never say never.
Yeah, you have a lot going on right now.
I do. I do.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to touch on that later.
Yeah, there was some news on the weekend.
Yeah, you made a huge announcement. I was like, oh, my goodness. Shook the community to the core, but I think everybody was ultimately extremely happy for you.
Yeah.
So you raided, you were playing by yourself, you found a guild, you raided.
Yes.
But you mentioned, you alluded to it, you didn't continue playing by yourself. You met a mage.
Yes. I was in Terrakal Forest. I was doing a quest. I remember the quest. I had to kill a number of wolves, and there's some orcs in the region. It's just outside of the city in Chatra. And this dear little mage called Sheepdick came up and said, do you need a hand? And I wasn't even used to talking to people in game. And I said, sure, that'd be great. And so we grouped up together and we played all afternoon. And then the next day they came back on. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know their gender. It didn't matter. They were just a kind player, you know. It was just lovely. And and then I invited them into the guild because I was in the guild at that point. And then we got into Ventrilla and I found out that this little female mage was a big burly Canadian. very lovely man. and we became friends. And honestly, he often says this, when he heard me for the first time in voice chat, he thought I was some, you know, 20 something college student, you know, very nice person. He was helping along. He didn't know that my age was actually much, much older. And we became friends And yeah, a few years later, we got married in California.
Oh, I love that. Are you guys close in age?
I'm a tiny bit older than him.
Okay, all right. That's okay. That's all right.
Like a year or something. But he'll tell you that I'm older than him. It's a year.
Yeah, we definitely exaggerate. We always exaggerate those things.
Indeed. Yeah, calls me sugar mama, as if.
I love that. Very fitting. when you started playing, did you expect, I'm guessing you didn't, but did you ever think, I'm going to find the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with in this game?
No. My life was very different then. So it was all about timing, right place, and meeting a person who, you know, and I have met some wonderful friends, and as well as, you know, meeting partners. You can meet some friends that, you know, I still remember my guild leader. I wonder where he is to this day. I remember he was a teacher in America, but just a kind man. You know, you meet people, they sort of waft in, they waft out, they don't play anymore. Sometimes they do, sometimes they come back. You do meet some quite amazing people that leave an imprint on you, you know, whether you marry them or you become besties.
Yeah. I think that really is, for me, that, like, the adventure, the story, the lore, all of that I enjoy. But for me, the best part of the game is the memories that we make and the friendships that we make.
Yeah.
Is there anything that stands out for you? Like, what are some of your favorite memories in game?
I've got some embarrassing ones. I remember one of my first guild leaders. He was a lovely young man, and I didn't know anything about the game. I was very gullible. I believed everything anyone told me. And he used to say to me, if I wanted to catch the boat in Stormwind, I had to yell not to go, to wait. But if you yelled wait, the boat would stay. So back in the day, if you ever remember a warlock yelling wait all the time, it was me, because I had no idea. And another period, same guild lead. Look, he was a nice man, young man. He brought me to, goodness me, all the mushrooms are, I've forgotten the name of the zone now.
Oh, Zangarmarsh?
Thank you, Zangarmarsh. And for whatever reason, I didn't have I wasn't very PC literate at the time. I didn't have my settings right. And he got me, I got a warlock portal from someone else in the guild to have a look at the zone, because I wasn't there yet. I wasn't up to that zone. I was still small level. Oh, sorry. And And I was standing there and he said, isn't this incredible? And I said, what is? And he said, all of the mushrooms. And I couldn't see them. So my PC settings were such that I had no depth of field or anything. I had no idea. And he said, like, everybody stop. And so through the Discord at the time, he's helping me reset. And all of a sudden I saw all of this amazing game that I hadn't really seen before. I could literally see in front of my nose. I'd been playing like that all of this time.
Really?
Anyway, I had no idea.
It's like a whole new world.
I know. The things you learn. Yeah.
I love it. That's great. If Blizzard, if you're listening, and I like to think that you are, when it's time to put a character of Hottie Chicken in the game, I think we just put a warlock on the docks and Stormwind yelling
just
wait.
Just put a warlock yelling wait. That'd be pretty much it.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't tell that story very often. It's embarrassing.
That's a great story. We all have embarrassing stories. I can't think of any quite that embarrassing, but we all have embarrassing
stories.
No problem. No problem. That's great. So you're playing the game. You're an adult. Your son is growing up. You've met a partner. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the line, you decide, you know what? I want to share my journey with the world. Mm. And that's a big step.
It is for a lot of reasons. First of all, because that's not my personality. I'm not an extroverted person at all. And so we're talking
really?
Many years. Oh, no, I'm very introverted, incredibly introverted. A lot of people don't realize that. Like almost stay at home most of the time, kind of introverted.
Oh, wow.
But most people don't know. And you don't get that sense when you're streaming, because streaming can be very different to what you're like in your life. So for me to stream was... Yeah. When I told Mel, he looked at me and he said, really? Really? And I said, yeah, and then I'm going to give it a go.
That's crazy. Mm, what inspired you? What gave you that itch to do it, to hit that go live button?
Well, look, I didn't really know much about Twitch. I thought Twitch was Fortnite and Ninja. That's all I knew. Asmongold. I knew about Asmongold. And a friend of mine from university... we were talking as a group of peers, as classmates do, and he said, oh, I'm streaming. And I said, you what? And he said, I'm streaming. Come watch. So I went and watched. I made an account, and I went to watch him play, I think it was The Witcher. He's a fella with a family, you know. And so I'm just giving you an age demographic. And it was great to watch him, and I was chatting away. And I remember him saying, you should do this. And I said, Hell War 3 is over. Not happening. But at the same time, because we were in lockdown, and in Melbourne, our lockdown was the longest in the world. Month after month after month after month, we were not allowed to leave our homes. I couldn't even go shopping with hubby. You couldn't leave together. You had to go one hour. It was quite extreme. Anyway, so putting that into perspective, I was home even more, even if I didn't want to be. And so I watched Twitch, and I couldn't find anybody like me playing Warcraft. There were a lot of stereotypical sort of streamers in the space. I saw a lot of toxicity in the space.
A lot of people look like this.
But not a lot of people looking like this, you know.
Right.
And I thought, where the fuck? Because I wasn't comfortable in many of them, you know. I'd log in and be like, let's go, boys. And I'd think, everybody else, who else is here, you know. So that's when I thought, right, I'll give it a go. And so I told Mel. He was shocked. And I remember setting everything up. I had no idea about anything technical. I didn't know about OBS or streaming. I didn't know anything. So I taught myself about 4 or 5 weeks. I did some research about it, about branding, about community, about what that would look like. And then I set myself up with a name, which I thought will either work or won't, which was Haughty Chicken. And then I went live one evening at, I think it was 10 o'clock at night, which is why a lot of my community are either North American or in the UK or the EU, because I would stream while Mel was sleeping because he worked from home during the day because of the lockdown. And within an hour, I had someone come in, and then a second person came in, and that lovely person was in my final stream on the weekend. They're still with me, lovely, lovely man. And so it didn't sort of stop. But I think it was 12 weeks after I started, I got partnership on Twitch. It's very quick.
12 weeks?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you identified a gap in the demographics, and you were like, hey, you know, nobody looks like this, and there are people that look like this that watch Twitch.
And people look like this that play video games. So,
That is a great, what a rocket ship to the moon of success that
indeed. And it wasn't planned. I thought, oh, this might last more than a week. I didn't think I'd last more than a stream, you know. I didn't even know what to stream. I didn't know how to stream or what to do. So I just chatted away, chatted to myself, thinking, well, if nobody comes, I'll talk to myself. But somebody did come, and I've not had stream with no one there since.
That's crazy. I think your warmth comes through the camera, and I think that helps to draw people in. Where did the name Hottie Chicken come from? How did you settle on that?
Look, I was trying to think of something that, because I wanted to have a separate identity from streaming to my personal life and my, you know, professional life. And I remember looking at something, and there was an avatar of a chicken. It was a drawing that a lovely artist had done, and it had a monocle on. And it just struck me as a very, and I don't think it was called Haughty or anything like that, but it looked like a haughty type of rooster or something similar. Right. And the name popped into my head, Haughty Chicken. What a haughty chicken. And I thought, and I'm anything but haughty. I'm the complete opposite of a haughty type of person, you know. And I thought, okay, that works. That is both silly and odd at the same time. So I just went with it, and I tried to find an image similar, you know, with a chicken with a bow, which is why I don't have my bow on today, but I've worn a bow every time I stream. And that just stuck. And I thought, well, people will either like that or they'll just think it's really silly. I mean, people call me HC now most of the time because haughty chicken is a mouthful, but that's where it came from. It was just from an image that I saw. I just wanted something that was so silly, but also not necessarily related to WoW. I didn't want to have a WoW specific name just in case I veered off the path into other things.
Yeah, foresight. You had the foresight to look at branding and not name yourself. You know.
I did research. I did. Well, that's my real job. It's my day job too. So I'm good for research. Yeah.
I do want to talk about that. So you are, you're quite a remarkable woman. You are also a candidate for a PhD.
Yes.
What can I ask? What your doctorate is in? Is that, if that terminology is wrong, I'm really sorry.
No, that is correct. Look, I went back to university in my 50s, and I did sociology and psychology to begin with, and then I went into the field of social work. But during my bachelor's degree, I discovered research, and so I did honors research in social work. And then 2 weeks after I graduated, I did my master's degree. So I did a master's degree in sexuality and gender, because I was quite interested in that as a social worker and as a counsellor as well. And I hadn't quite finished. I very much like academia. And so I've gone back to begin my PhDs 4 years in Australia, and I'm coming into my second year now. And I teach at university too. So I'm sort of juggling all of those things. My PhD is in a fairly heavy topic, so I don't discuss it at length online. It's in the field of domestic violence, but it's important research, So I teach and I do my PhD. And I create game content, and the two do not mix. It's I don't mix the two. It's very hard to keep them separate, but they don't mix.
Do you? How do you schedule all that? Is your day just like booked from wake up to bedtime?
I have whiteboards and post-it notes and diaries, and I'm old school, so I have journals as well. And you know, often people say, "Oh, check your hubby will send me a reminder on my email calendar online." I'm like, no, let me write it in my diary. It's a juggle and a struggle sometimes. And at the same time, I take my hat off to people who do content creation full time. There's been a conversation recently in social media about, you know, it's not a real job. I'll challenge that. It is so difficult, you know, having to do both is very hard, but having to do content creation as a full time living is so difficult and so demanding. You know, I will challenge anyone who says that it's not. It's very, very difficult. Sometimes I go into the office on campus and I think, oh, I can take a breather here because it's really hard in content creation.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how to word this. Have you always been somebody who's like, this is a thing I want to do. Okay, I'm going to do it. Because going back to school at 50 isn't common, I don't think. And deciding to get on stream, like, and be a content creator, you know, it just seems to me like you're like, okay, this is a thing I'm going to do. All right, well, let's do it. Nothing else matters. We're just going to do
pretty much. I like to try new things. I'm a creative person, and I like people. Although I am introverted, I do get out of the house sometimes. So I teach students, and I go on campus, and I do meet people.
Right.
But I find I didn't know that content creation could bring the extroverted side of me out. And I have spoken to other people who stream who may be generally quiet, IRL, you know, away from the camera. But it's a different experience. And until you do it, and you probably maybe have the same experience, until you talk online and speak with people, it actually is quite engaging, not just for the people watching, but for you as well. And I found, and I said this in one of my streams on the weekend, I streamed also because I wanted to connect with people during the pandemic. And right. So once I started, it's a bit like academia. If I do something, I want to do it well or do it as well right. as I can do. So that's kind of how it started and how I kept evolving. I kept trying to be on top of things because it changes. And you would know this as well. The content creation space, you have to keep up. You have to see yeah. what's coming. You have to know what's current. Urban Dictionary and I became best buddies when I first started because people saw my age and thought, gee, what, no, what this means. Trust me, I know what many things mean. But you've got to keep on top of things if you keep going. So it was a challenge.
Yeah. What would you say was the biggest challenge for you? That was probably it right there. This question might be wasted. But what was the biggest challenge for you as a content creator? Like when you looked at it, what was your biggest hurdle, do you think?
I think my own self-confidence that I had a space, that I had a place there. I certainly now, 4 years, because it'll be 4 years this April, I now know that I very much have a space there and a reason for being in the space. But early on, I thought, should I really be here? Do people really want to see an older gamer? Is this going to be worthwhile? I never did it for the money. I don't think anybody does it for the money. I didn't do it for notoriety because I've not ever really wanted to be famous. A lot of people are surprised when I tell them. I've had a few interviews. I got asked by the Today Show not long ago to be interviewed, and I declined. It got to a point where I didn't want that kind of notoriety, and that was never the goal. It really was just to – I used to make a joke early days that when I streamed, it was just a couple of people having a cup of tea and a biscuit. Because that's how it felt comfortable for me.
Right.
It's just a group of friends, you know. Those friends, the numbers got a bit bigger, but I still like to think it was just a few people having a cup of tea and a biscuit, you know.
I like that. That's a good headspace to put yourself into. I think that helps.
Yeah.
So despite not wanting it, you have become something of a community icon.
Yeah, I didn't. That wasn't on my bucket list, and I didn't.
It wasn't a goal.
It was really just to share that other people play games, that other people can play games in different ways. For my love of World of Warcraft, and you know, I give my thanks, and I always say this when I first started, one of my early tweets, because I didn't know about Twitter, I didn't know about anything. One of my very early tweets was reposted by Taryn Gregory. Mm-hmm. And that kind of friendship has gone full circle where he took me around the headquarters in November at Blizzard. And he retweeted something and then more people at Blizzard found out who I was. And then I was part of the online opening ceremony during COVID. And the support from Blizzard, because they love what I do, and then seeing them in November coming out of their offices saying, oh, goodness, we're so pleased to meet you. We love what you do. That made me realize that I'm just not some Nana from the suburbs, because you sort of think sometimes you don't really matter or make a difference or connect with people. But then when you realize that you do, it's a little bit humbling, you know, and that was my experience in November. I had no idea how many people knew who I was. I remember contacting a moderator, the wonderful, actually Arcane. I said, I'll meet you at BlizzCon, but can you have dinner with me if you have time? Because I won't know anyone and nobody will know me. And that's what I said to her before BlizzCon. I had no idea.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
That's what one of the other mods said. They're like, really?
That's fun. I love it. Was BlizzCon just like this surreal event from start to finish?
It was. I remember when they contacted me. So Blizzard contacted me and said, we want you to come to BlizzCon. I said, this is a joke, right? That was my response. This is a joke, right? And they said, no. We want to bring you to BlizzCon. And I literally squealed and turned to hubby and he said, what now? And I said, I'm going to leave you alone for a bit. You'll be fine. But it was right in the middle of busy semester time for teaching. And I had to work out, it was during exam periods for the students. And so I literally had 4 days to get there and get home and go straight back to work the next day.
It's crazy. Chaotic. Marking papers, on the plane.
Marking papers. just about. But it was an amazing experience. It was very surreal. And I believe what people say, in that you don't know until you actually experience it all live. It was a remarkable event. Visiting headquarters was the pinnacle for me, meeting so many people. But just be walking around and seeing all these creators that I look up to, and having a hug from Taliesin and Evertel, and all these wonderful people who knew me. And I didn't think I mattered really to anyone in the space. Apparently not. Apparently I was quite wrong on that. But yeah, just being a fan of the game, aside from the content creator part of it, just being a fan of Warcraft and walking around everything, it was just amazing.
Yeah, getting there and being able to see that statue out in front. And
absolutely. I've got my photo.
Yeah. It's so good. So good. We had tickets for this year, but unfortunately some stuff happened. We had to cancel. Mm. Hopefully 2024 BlizzCon, we'll see you there. And hopefully, I will go for a meal with you ahead of time, in case you're worried about nobody knowing who you are.
Okay, in case nobody knows who I am.
Yeah, definitely. You made a big announcement on the weekend.
I did.
I don't think anybody saw it coming. Can you walk us through the decision that you made and how tough that was for you?
It was really tough. So I made my retirement announcement on the weekend from live content creation. And since I've made it, I've said, you know, for now, for the foreseeable mm-hmm. future. And last year, some people realize. So last year, I didn't stream very much live either. You know, at the end of the year, you get the Twitch, you know, how much you streamed and all that kind of thing. You get reports at the end of the year. I streamed 14 times in 2023. And so that was a sign that things were very, very busy in my professional life. And this is the rub. My professional life, my academic life is getting very, very busy. And so that means something else has to give, and it's streaming live. And also, I think, you know, sometimes people get very burnt out with streaming, and mm-hmm. if it gets to the point where streaming is no longer enjoyable for you, or it impacts your own mental health or self-care or your own physical health, then you need to think, okay, how do I balance this? And for me, streaming, even if I only stream twice on a weekend, that's roughly 6 hours or so over that weekend period. And so I had to make a decision of, where do I take back a little bit of time, you know, for myself, especially doing a PhD. And I'm going to say, doing a PhD at my age is, you know, it takes quite a bit of effort as well.
Right.
And it was just becoming a struggle to get the joy out of the streaming that I had before. And I never wanted to stream because I had to. And so I made the decision to pull away from live content. I'm still very much on all of my social media, and I may even up my recorded content, you know, a little bit more. But in terms of live, I was trying to push through it, and I was having all these conversations with my family and my, you know, my mother's a gamer, my son, my daughter, all of us are all gamers. And my son said to me, "You're not enjoying it." And I said, "No, not as I was." And he said, "Then how about you take a break? You know, I think you should." Mm-hmm. Wise words from my son. And so I made the decision. And although many people were surprised, those who were close to me realized that it was probably coming. Having said that, as they said, "We know you well. You'll probably come back at some point. You'll pop your head up and say, 'Hey, I'm streaming.'" But for right now, it needs to be no live. So my Twitch channel is still there. I'm still around. I haven't fallen off the perch, pun intended. But in terms of live, I needed to sort of just pause that for the time being.
Okay. When you come back, will we be calling you Dr. Chicken? How will that work? Dr. Hottie?
Dr. Chicken sounds good. I've still Still got a couple more years for that, till that happens. But you all know.
How long is the PhD process?
It's about 4 years here. No longer than four if you're full time.
Okay.
And they don't like it to be too quick. So between 3 to 4 years. We're very lucky here in Australia. We don't pay for our PhDs. Our government pays for us, which is wonderful. So I've still got a little bit of time to go.
Yeah, it's not like you're taking a vacation. Doing a PhD, you're going to be working just as hard, if not harder.
Sometimes people say, "Are you doing a PhD in gaming?" And I was like, "I wish, but no."
Yeah, that would be great. HC, you're done with the live content. You're working on your PhD, but you did mention that there's going to be maybe some recorded content. What does the future hold there?
Look, I have obviously I'm on all different platforms, And I've always been wanting to do a series called Appreciating Azeroth. I've done a couple of them. I've looked at Stormwind. I've looked at Exile's Reach. And then I thought with the 20th year, I'm very much known for looking at the finer details in WoW, the artistic work of WoW. And so I decided to have a look at all of the dungeons of old, all the raids of old, from an artistic viewpoint, just little videos, you know, go in, wipe out all the mobs, then go and have a look at some of the artwork, perhaps some of the Easter eggs of certain raids and dungeons, and put up a little series. So I've started doing that. There are some dungeons, especially some of the old dungeons, I'm trying to find the artwork in there, but, you know, we'll see. I'm in Shadowfang Keep at the moment. I think that's what it's called. But I thought that might be nice. And for a lot of people who haven't played, when you think about us being here for 20 years, there's some newer players that won't have known certain areas, or they'll fly over an old abandoned farm, which is one I did recently, that they won't realize that back in the day there was a quest line there for Horde players. It's no longer there, that kind of thing. So I'm looking at old areas that many of us, we know the story of, but newer players may not. So I'm working on that on YouTube. I'm finally playing with TikTok. That's a whole other beastie, that is.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You need a PhD just to figure that out.
I'll let you know how it goes. So, yeah. You know, I will still make recorded content and put that up on YouTube. And I've got another. I've just launched a new one, which is for more cozy content. It's not WoW related. It's like Animal Crossing and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm still enjoying making content, of course. I'm known for my screenshots, so I keep saying to Blizzard, get me into alpha or beta, please, because I'd really love to. I did a lot of that during Dragon Isles, and I took a lot of photos, and Blizzard were wonderful. But I can't say enough about Blizzard, especially our ANZ team. We're a very small group down here in our part of the world, and Blizzard look after us very well, the team from Sydney. And so I've had access to the game largely due to them, and so a lot of my success, I don't like that word, but a lot of the growth that I've had is because of the support that I get from them. So I'm very grateful for that. So I hope that continues. As I say, I'm still here, just a little bit different.
Yeah, I love that idea for that that video series, because for players like us, it's a cozy trip down memory lane, but it's also an introduction to new players. Like, hey, here's what used to be here. Here's what this is like.
Yes, yeah, this is the story behind this. So that's what's coming out this year. I'll just take my time with it. It's nice to go back into old dungeons and sort of go a bit slowly. And I don't know, appreciate the lace curtains and the tapestries on the wall.
I like that. This is great. You, this is my favorite. This is season 4. I think you are the last episode of the season for me to record. And this is by far my favorite one. Don't tell the other guests. I'll have to edit that part out.
I won't let them know.
Okay, good. Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I have to tell you about this season's sponsor. Ever Ember Creative is a studio and agency dedicated to making life easier for streamers. They've helped me shape Recruit a Friend through brand design, video editing, and social media management. But they do so much more than that. Literally anything you need. If you're looking for a team capable of diving deep to help you achieve your goals, however big or small, call them. Also, they're fairly tolerable human beings. Ever Ember Creative. Content ignited. AC, that is the show. We end every episode with a 10-question questionnaire. And if you are ready, I would love to ask you those now.
Okay.
Question number one, what is your favorite word?
I have to say kindness. I realize that how much I say kindness or be kind or that is so kind of you. Or I think kindness, and it sounds a bit cliche, but when I thought about what do I say the most, and it is actually kind.
I like that. That is a great answer. Question number two, what is your least favorite word?
Should. When I hear people say, I should do that, or you should do that, I really question that. It puts a lot of pressure and expectations on oneself. So I don't like the word should.
Yeah, I spent 14 years in the Canadian Navy, and should became my least favorite word because it was, that should work.
That should have worked.
Question number three, what sound or noise do you love?
Rain. Oh, rain. And honestly, the past week we've had so many days of 43 degrees Celsius or 110 in Fahrenheit. I miss the rain so much. I keep saying to hubby, Canada next. If it gets too hot, we're moving home to Canada. So
yeah, you guys are literally on fire right now, aren't you? Isn't there like a massive?
It's bad. It's very bad. So I could get my Canadian citizenship one day. You never know. You never know.
I love it. We'll be neighbors. It's a big country, but yeah. Question number four: what sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, this is going to sound very random, but hubby has this thing where for the recycling, he squashes bottles that have had, you know, soda in them, you know, empty mm-hmm. soda bottles. And it's such a loud sound to me. He knows I hate it. I hate that sound. I don't know if you know what that sound is when someone squashes a plastic bottle.
Yeah. That's I don't have one here, but I can hear you say it and I can hear it.
That's very random, but that sound I hate.
Okay. Question number five. What is your favorite dungeon?
A Scarlet Monastery. Old school. Mm. Yeah. And there was always something different in different rooms. And I just really liked it. I like the aesthetic of it. I like the mm-hmm. gameplay of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Big fan of Scarlet Monastery. Mm-hmm. Question number six. What is your least favorite dungeon?
Brackenhide Hollow.
Oh.
I don't like gnolls. I don't like the sound that they make. And I don't like... I think it's like a horrible poison thing on the ground. And I just dislike that immensely.
Yeah. All right. I've got a friend who told me today. I had a friend who told me today that was her least favorite dungeon as well.
Yeah, there we go. It was not just me.
Yeah. No, not at all. Question number seven. What is your favorite curse word?
Now, look, this is very Australian. But it's not. I'm not doing a dark Mac. I heard his.
Okay.
Although I agree with him. This is a very common Aussie thing, and I remember I said it in my early streams and someone got very offended, so I stopped saying it. But in the Australian lexicon, if something goes wrong, we say, oh, bugger. And so bugger is something that we say very often. Oh, bugger it, you know. And there was even a very famous commercial. If you Google Toyota ad with the word bugger in it, it's funny as. But so for an Aussie to say, you know, say you do something and it goes wrong, you think, oh, bugger. It means damn, basically. And so that's a great word, but a lot of people don't like it overseas. And I get that. But that's my favorite.
Yeah, I think I think it means something different in the UK.
It does indeed. It does. But to an Aussie, it's just like saying damn kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Good answer. I was really worried you were going to say the same thing Dark Mix said.
Look, Aussies would, you know, I have two children, two adults, and my daughter, she's in research, very clever young woman, and she will occasionally come out with that word. And I said, did you just say that? She said, sorry, Mum.
Yeah, I was like, I almost skipped that question. Question number eight, what is your favorite raid?
Look, I love Kara. Kara's been my favorite forever, but the original Naxxramas, I loved that because we were very much into raiding. And I thought that was scary, but at the same time, fantastic. So it'd be probably Karazhan first and then Naxx after that.
Two great raids. Question number nine, what is your least favorite raid?
Black Rock Foundry.
Okay. Mm. Is there a reason?
I disliked WOD very much. I think when I got flying, I didn't mind it so much, but any raid, any dungeon to do with WOD, I just dislike immensely. Okay. Sorry, WOD.
WOD forgives you.
Yeah.
Question number 10. If Azeroth was real, where would you call home?
The original Negrand.
Oh, yes.
The original Negrand. Yes. Yeah. When in the early days of the game, when I was having any fun of, you know, difficulties, you know, in real life, I would go to Negrand and those floating islands, you know, even today I will land myself on those floating islands and just chill if I'm doing something with the waterfalls. I love that place. I don't know why, but it's my favorite place.
It's a beautiful spot. So such a good zone. Mm. HC, that is everything. That is the show. Thank you so much for being here.
It is my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure to be here. I like that you thought of me. It was very kind of you. I don't get to talk to a lot of people so much these days. So when I got your offer to have a chat, I was delighted. Absolutely delighted.
Oh, you just made me my night. why don't you let our listeners know where they can find you? I'm blushing.
You can look me up everywhere. I'm pretty much the only Haughty Chicken everywhere. Although I hate to say it, on Instagram I'm Haughty Chicken Gaming. Somebody took Haughty Chicken, so I had to add a pretentious gaming on the end of it. But I'm pretty much everywhere on Haughty Chicken, and I won't be gone from everywhere, just a little bit live. So everywhere else, perfect. Please support me over there. Be great.
Definitely give her a follow. And friends, if you're looking, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at RIF_podcast. You can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're inclined, drop us a review. They do help the show get discovered. Remember, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. And we'll see you next week.